if you just come into private wanting to coach, you're going to be disappointed for sure. Like, you have to be ready and willing to like go beyond whatever it is, like explore things you actually want to dive into, build your brand, look into the future, okay, how do I get there, and then pursue that actively.
Coach Mike Sully, first podcast live roomie in our living room, comparing and contrasting all things college S&C, private S&C. He has stops along the way, Texas, Notre Dame, Illinois State, UC Davis out in Cali, and now over to the dark side, TC Boost Sports Performance, private sector training. First, how are you doing today? And second, tell me something good that's going on in your life.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. First of all, thanks for having me. This is a long time coming.
A long time coming. Almost canceled like 7 times.
Yes, it canceled multiple times.
I wanted to.
Yeah. I'm doing great. What's one thing that's going on in my life that's great? I would say this podcast.
Ooh.
Thank you, man.
Very unsurprising answer.
Absolutely electric.
Podcast. So Mike came over to the dark side, was it May? In January.
January, yeah.
So it's been 5 months. And as I've gone on my own journey, as I've been pretty open about my job search and where I've been trying to go, I know that it would be a valuable topic to get firsthand experience, someone who came from the college side. So we're going to go through kind of his stories. Oh, we're on the Talking Shop podcast, by the way. Stories, lessons, experiences in sports performance and professional development. So I figured this is a topic that is relevant to a lot of people, whether they're college trying to go private trying to go college, and people that just want to figure out what might be next for them in their S&C journey. So this fits the bill. Coach Mike is a funny guy. Sometimes he has all those one-liners. He's a knockdown speed coach. I love watching his sessions go down. So we will get into it. So we'll go kind of in chronological order, and we'll start as a full-time D1, non-Power 5, college strength coach, UC Davis, right?
Yep.
Mainly Mountain West.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of conferences.
A lot of conferences. But D1, nonetheless, so take us through like a typical day in the life / week in the life, like a stereotypical, and then we'll compare and contrast like a fall, spring, summer.
Yeah. Well, I think like, first of all, it's important to understand like my experience there, I don't think is typical of like college S&C, certainly for like smaller schools or like mid-major D1s for sure. Definitely. I would not say typical of like a Power 5 school, right? So like I had like 7-8 sports at Davis.
Could you name those off the top of your head?
Probably not. I'd probably forget somebody. And the small chance that someone associated with that team is listening to the podcast. And like
a very small chance.
So a normal day would just be, you know, very early morning start of typically like football is our first group of the day.
Like
our freshman redshirt group started at 5:45. Right. So man, it was like 5:15, you know, get to work, start getting set up. And then 5:45, you know, the day starts, right? Our coaching day starts. And then from there, I mean, like that's like football in season though. So like end of the year, November, you know, December ish. And then from there, like we just fill in the rest of our day with coaching for the most part. Like I had like 8 teams. So I had, you know, 6 hours of coaching a day, probably 7 hours of coaching a day. And then when you're not coaching, you're programming. If you're not programming, like you're trying to get out to a practice or a game or something like that. And that's really the cycle of what the day-to-day week-to-week was. It was like, you're going to coach, you're going to program. If you have time, get out, go see your team's player or practice. So you don't just get associated with just being the weight room guy. And that was the day-to-day. That was the week-to-week.
Gotcha. Yeah. And we are speaking in generalities. You know, Mike's experiences and his opinions are like from where he's been, the 4 colleges, but there's probably more similarities than dissimilarities. So we are speaking in kind of generalizations, but yes, his experiences are his experiences. How much time would you have to like hit your own lift? If you want to grow on social media, you have like time to do that, or like you want to host your own podcast, like would you be able to get 30 minutes here and there? Like how much beyond weight room practice programming, like, did you just have to yourself?
Very little. Like, there are definitely situations where I know strength coaches who do have that opportunity, right? Where, you know, you have two or three teams, you know, you train those teams, you know, you're programming, you're going to practice, but you still have enough time where, like, hey, you can, you know, hit a lift an hour a day. So, like, you do have time for other things. And I could have made more time for myself if I wanted to, like at least working out. Like, when we were really into it, like, I definitely would be like, oh, man, I haven't worked out one time this week, you know? And we had a coach on staff, Doug, who I would show up to work at 5:15 in the morning, and he had been in the weight room for an hour and a half.
Oh my god!
Just training, you know, full body sweat at 5 o'clock in the morning. So like I could have made more time for it if I really wanted to, but it was definitely difficult. Not to say that like you can't do it. Like there are definitely like situations which, especially if you don't have like a ton of teams, you know, you have time to work out. You have time to pursue things outside of just coaching and programming and going and watching your team play.
And then what time in a typical day were you hopping in your car, driving home, eating dinner?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, similar to what we have now, like the ebb and flow of the week and ebb and flow of the day. So, but pretty typical, like I'm home around 6:15, you know, depending on my commute. Like when I first got to Davis and I lived in Sacramento, which in the afternoon at like 6 p.m. was like a 45-minute commute home. So, you know, I called everybody I knew, which was nice every day. And then, you know, you're home by 6, 6:45, 7 o'clock pretty much every day.
Gotcha. So next, we'll zoom out. And then one thing I liked, like doing sports science at TCU, well, probably because I was still a grad student, but I liked the ebb and flow of the academic calendar. It was like off-season grind in the fall. You had 2 months preseason, and then you had the traveling of in season, and then you had like summer break. So obviously like college is on the academic calendar, but if there was any differences in like your day-to-day fall, spring, summer, if you could kind of just compare and contrast like those seasons.
Yeah. And again, like a lot of this comes back to just like how many sports you're working with, right? Because like a lot of sports are on different schedules. So like there might not be a time where you are actually in an off season with a team because you have another team that's in season. Right. So like, for us, like, you know, at Davis, you know, if we had like all of the entire staff was on football, right? So we all collectively shared the football experience and the football calendar. So it's like when football was in season, like they were lifting a couple times a week. We weren't doing a ton of speed work with them, obviously, because they were practicing a ton. We weren't conditioning them because they were practicing a ton. You know, we always had some people at practices. As we all had that, like other teams that we had were also in season, off season. Winding down, winding up. So like there is an ebb and flow, and there is like time where, you know, the weight room starts to quiet down. There is time where, like, you know, we start to hit finals week where athletes become, you know, a little bit more scarce. Like summer starts to roll around depending on the school you're at or like the level of school you're at. Like there are certain sports that are going to be there, have to be there. There are certain sports that don't have to be there. So like that stuff does definitely ebb and flow. But like, just if you have more sports, I just found like there was very little time where I just wasn't coaching all the time, you know. Like when I was at Illinois State and I only had three teams, like the summer was like pretty relaxed for us. Like we were all on football, but none of my sports as a GA were required to be on campus.
Nice.
Right. So the only sports that I actually coached were, I was with football, and then women's basketball, volleyball, men's basketball were required to be on campus. So like those sports were around. But none of my sports were, you know, I was with them remotely, you know, through Team Builder or online stuff, but I didn't actually see them at all until they reported back to campus.
Clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So part of that is like what teams you have, fall sports, spring sport. Yeah. So a little bit of an atypical experience having like 7 or 8 coach left and et cetera, et cetera. We won't get into those details. So last thing about like the college side, how typical is it to like pick your sports? What would you say is a typical, how many sports you get? Do they usually divvy it up like 2 fall, 2 spring, all guys, all girls? Or is it typically just like whatever needs to be coached?
Yeah, I think now there's definitely been become more divisive, like where you might get a sport at. I think a lot more like job postings will actually specifically say what sports you're going to get, right? Like, especially if it's a basketball or football position, obviously. the Olympic sports side of stuff might be a little bit more unsure. Like you might have a posting for a job and it's like an Olympic assistant with nobody tells you what sports you get. You don't find out until like you're thoroughly into the interview process. Right. So that's kind of, I mean, that's how it was at Davis. It was just like, hey, this is a football assistant position. And then you're going to have, you know, X number of Olympic sports. So I didn't know what sports I was going to get when I got there. I knew what sports didn't have a strength coach. There was like 11 sports at the time that didn't have a strength coach.
So you took the job without officially.
Yes, I accepted the job without knowing. You know? Okay. And it was like, hey, here are all the options of sports that you could possibly get. You'll probably get like five, six, seven sports.
Was it like a mass hiring? Like a few
people? It was two of us. Yeah, two of us got hired at the same time. So it was like baseball, softball, you know, men's water polo, women's water polo. Like it was a lot of similar sports, you know, like field hockey, lacrosse, like similar sports. And it was like, okay, if I get one of those, I know I'm not going to get the other one of those.
Gotcha.
And that's basically how it got split up. So I think definitely more so you kind of know before you start even applying. Basketball, football for sure, but like Olympic sports style, like you might not know until like when I was talking with North Carolina and I interviewed for a position there. I had no idea what I was interviewing for. It wasn't until like I was in the interview, I was like, hey, like what are these positions for? And I was told like, oh, hey, this is a track and field position. And so like I went through a whole interview and then I was like, okay, well, not super interested in being a track and field strength coach. So like, I appreciate it, but not super interested.
Yeah. It's kind of an important detail.
Yeah. You feel like rude asking that right away. It's like, hey, like before we start, let me know what sports you like. I'm not going to ask that, but at the same time, like very important for me to know, you know?
Yeah. But it's also like what you're qualified, interested in, like, you know, if you don't have track and field and they're like, this is mainly a track position. It's like, well, you would want to have whatever. Anyways.
Yeah. No, like you're right. And like I had like both water polos while I was at Davis. And like, before I got there, I had never worked with a water polo team. Frankly, since I've left, I have not worked with any water polo athletes. And if I don't ever work with a water polo athlete again, like I'm not going to be surprised by that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's a very interesting, and like definitely the part of the country the sport is in or the school is in dictate what sports you get. Yeah. Like if you get an Ivy League position, like you're probably going to have 46 sports, you know, cause they have so many, you know, or if like you get a Northern school job, like you might get a hockey team or you might, if you know, you get like a Division II NAIA school, Division III school, you might get like a flag football team. Like it's just, cheer. Like I had equestrian.
Yeah. Oh you know yeah. I mean? Equestrian. Yeah.
Which was phenomenal. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. So that's kind of the summary general college. So now chronologically, let's get into the story of when you first started having those thoughts of leaving, how that kind of timed up nicely with us looking for a full-time coach at TC Boost, what like the questions you knew that you wanted to ask Steve, who's our director of coaching, who's been on the podcast, who I name drop every other episode. / like some of the questions he asked you, if you remember those. He's not a very memorable guy, but any of the questions or things that he kind of got your brain going. So next let's kind of get into that transition and kind of that story.
Like one of the misconceptions that I've had to fight other collegiate strength coaches about is when like I tell them about my transition to private is the you actively were searching for a way out of collegiate strength and conditioning, which like was never true. Me taking the job at TC Boost was not like a God, like I'm sick and tired of college. It was more of just like, hey, this is a phenomenal opportunity at TC Boost because of like the conversations and what, you know, Steve kind of painted the picture of what it could be for me here. And then additionally, like moving back to the Midwest was very important to me, you know, because being on the West Coast and not seeing my family or Tesla for seeing them three times in a year, like that wasn't fun. I didn't want to do that, you know, so being back here, definitely like had like a lot of like personal gain as for me as well. But I was like thinking about like, hey, like I do want to get back to the Midwest. I do want to be near my family. I do want to be near Tessa. And then like, I was kind of like looking through positions and then I came across like Steve, who I've known now, I'm 25 now. I probably met him when I was 15.
Yeah. Cause you've trained. Yeah.
Yeah. So I met him for the first time when I was freshman or sophomore in high school. So I've known him for 10 years and we've had like a very good relationship. Well, I think it's good. you probably think some. So
only one way to find out.
And then I saw like he was looking for somebody. I just texted him more out of like a conversational, like wanting to reconnect with Steve.
Yeah.
And then he was like, and his response was like, I'm going to give you a call. And I was like,
oh, of course. I was like, not what I wanted.
Yeah, not what I wanted. I was like, don't call him. I don't want to talk to you. And then so he called me and then he just like talked about the position. He talked about TC Boost and he talked about what he wanted for TC Boost. The things that he was saying, just like, and again, like I told him and I told other people this about him and he knows this, is that like, I have to take a grain of salt of what Steve says because like, I know he's a very good salesman. Like that's literally what he's done in the past. Like, I know he's good at that. So like everything that he was telling me, like sounded really good. You know, like the opportunity, to, like branch out, dive into like all the things that you really want to dive into, you know, take like this next, however, you know, year, 2 years, and just really explore what you want to explore with no restrictions whatsoever. And you'll make more money than you ever made it, you know, within the college sector. And I was like, man, like that sounds great, you know? But then my questions to him were like, this is like, sounds, you know, great, but like, what do you actually do? Like, what does a day look like? I have no idea what the concept of a private performance coach would look like over the course of a day. And so like theoretically it all sounded super good, but like, I definitely had questions about like, first of all, just being unsure because all of my experience was collegiate, being super comfortable collegiately. It's like, I don't know, there's like definitely, I don't know, divide, if a divide's the right word, between college strength coaches and private strength coaches, you know?
There's this like unnecessarily unwritten, like big divide. Yeah. It's like this super like stark contrast.
Yeah.
There can't be any overlap. Like you're either on one side or the other. Yeah, it's this yeah. weird like
yeah like yeah. I don't, which is interesting because like yes, the bar for entry in the private side is definitely lower, right? Like I can't get a college job unless I have a master's degree, unless I have collegiate internships.
It's like unpaid,
yeah,
intern, paid intern, GA, you know.
Yeah,
that's a typical.
There's a fairly standard stepping stone yeah. progression. Whereas like privately, that's like not a thing.
Yeah. The barrier for entry is lower. It's not as like stringent, but that doesn't make you a bad coach.
No, but
I think then that, consequently, if you can make it through that ladder of the college side, it doesn't make you a good coach either. I mean, probably it does if you're going through all that stuff, you would hope. But yeah, there's this weird like silo, I guess.
Well, I remember like when I was an intern at Texas and it was a football internship. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, I don't know if I want to be a football S&C mm-hmm. coach at the Power 5 level. I was like, but if I do decide that I want to do this, I'm very confident, even after one internship, just like the people and the connections that I made within that one internship, I was like, I'm very confident that if I wanted to do it, I could do it. Like, I could stay in this football world if I wanted to. And not because I was a good coach. Like, I was a 20-year-old intern at the time. Like, I knew nothing about anything, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I walked away with that from that internship knowing that like, at least if this was something I want to do, then like the people that I had met would help me get to that point. And again, like I knew nothing.
Right? But there also are those internships where you just like clean benches, right? So like if someone wants to get into college, like asking those questions, like what am I going to be doing on a day-to-day? Like, how do you set your coaches up for success beyond this internship? You know, so sounds like it was a pretty good experience at Texas. Like I know some people where it's like they're just there to just like clean stuff.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like that was a big part of what we did at Texas. Like our very first day, it was like we were like, okay, like get here at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, super chill. We showed up and it was in the weight room, and our internship director, who great dude, love him. He was like, all right, guys, like pick a rack. There's 8 of us. And there were 16 racks.
Oh,
so we all ended up getting like 2 full racks. He's like, all right, I'll be back in a few hours. And he just left. And we had to clean those 2 racks.
Toothbrush, hands and knees.
It was like a towel and a bottle of spray. And it was like, okay, we have like, it was like 3 hours this guy was gone. So for 3 hours, we were cleaning 2 racks. And then like, it was like our first day. So like the 8 of us, we all freaked out. So like we all did Dude, this super has to be paranoid, absolutely spotless. So we're all like walking around, like making sure everybody's rack is perfect. But that was our very first day. So it was a big part of what we did for sure. But
life lessons and grit, mental toughness.
Yes, I became much tougher because of that. Well, I'll clean a rack. You know, you give me a full rack, I'll clean the hell out of it.
Lights out.
Yeah. But that was our first day. But no, I mean, like that's definitely a part of it. But like we did actually get to coach, and it was valuable from the coaching sense of it and the connection sense of it too. But yeah, there's a lot of that in the college residency world.
So last question about this, like kind of transition. What were the main selling points that, so you had experience with TC Boost, you knew Steve was a good guy, you want to be closer to your family and your girlfriend, right? So there were all these factors that it kind of made sense. It didn't necessarily have to be private, but you knew that like you didn't want to be so far away.
Yeah.
And you were open to the private potentially, right? Yeah. So that's kind of like the context. So like, what were those main kind of selling points? And do you remember the moment where you were like, all right, I'm doing it?
Yeah, frankly, I don't remember that exact moment, but like,
yeah, like the day.
Yeah, but yeah. there were definitely things that ended up like, okay, this guy checked off, right? Like, one of the things that I thought about more and more as I was working at Davis, especially, was, you know, if I take 100% of my time coaching, 75% of my time coaching was probably done in the weight room, 80% probably, you know, 75-80% was done in the weight room, 20%, 25% of my coaching was done outside the weight room, on the field, speed, agility, anything related to that.
Right.
And I just got to the point where I was thinking, like, in my ability to create change for an athlete and their ability to perform their sport, like, I almost felt like those ratios need to be flipped. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt way more beneficial our time. That 20% time of my coaching felt so much more beneficial from their development than me being in the weight room with them, you know? And like, I do believe, like, obviously it's like, I believe in what we did in the weight room and I believe what I do in the weight room, but I just felt like I wasn't doing enough from a speed development, you know, change of direction, agility, all of those things that happen outside the weight room, to like truly help the athletes. And then, so when I first started talking with Steve, and like, you know, the first thing out of his mouth was exactly what I had been thinking about how that ratio was flipped. He's like, yeah, like that's, we completely flip it, you know? Our emphasis is speed development. The thing that sets us apart is our ability to coach speed development. It's like, if you look at just the big picture of sports performance, that's probably gonna move the needle more than, you know, a 6x2, you know, hang power clean. So I definitely was getting to that point, talking with Steve, further ingrained that, and then obviously now working here, like even further ingrained, which has been nice for me to see that. And the second part of that was just like a, you know, within the space of private, at least working at TC Boost, because I can't speak for any other private experience I've ever had, right?
Yeah, I must say, we probably have a better private setup than most private places.
Yeah.
With the speed, with the autonomy, the support from both of our bosses to like use TC Boost as a platform to not be at TC Boost. Like, I must say, we definitely have it nicer, but... we know what questions to ask to kind of help vet and analyze a private place. So we definitely do have, like, you have an atypical college and probably, I would say, an atypical private as well. But so TC Boost does all the speed stuff, and that's where your mind was at.
Yeah, that's where my mind was at. In addition to that, it was just like the, you know, as Steve is as a human being, a very like unrestricted, you know, no box,
chaotic.
Just human being. He was like, that's what I'm going to try to push onto you guys, is just like, if you find something interesting in our field, if there's something within our field that you really want to dive deeply into, or like just go all in on, like do so. Obviously, like, there are certain things that we need to check off in our facility, like we're going to coach, you know, we're going to do these things that like, hey, like we're going to make money, like our facility needs to make money, stuff like that. But like, you know, what is it that really drives you as a coach? Okay, now go dive into that. Whereas like, it's definitely flipped, like that perspective is flipped collegially, where it's like, you're gonna coach and you're gonna program and you're gonna be at these sporting events. And typically your time away from all that is learning about and reading about programming and coaching and how to get better at that stuff. And then in the off time that you might have to find, yeah, go ahead, jump into those things that interest you, you know? But like, let's be very clear that that coaching, programming, your teams are first and foremost, right? And like, that's not, it's not wrong. Like, I'm not faulting that. That is the setup of college athletics, yeah, right? But here it's definitely flip. It's like, okay, you're going to coach. Like, that's a given. Like, you're going to make your athletes better.
You have your minimums.
Yeah. Your minimum is like, you're going to coach and you're going to make your athletes better. Like, that is a given. It's a minimum, you know, but now it's like, okay, like, what else can we be doing from 4 PM to like 9 PM, right? Like, we're all going to be coaching, right? That's the time that's blocked off for us on our schedules. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., okay, now what are we doing to actually develop ourselves professionally, personally, and then as a staff in a facility? So, like, that part to me was, like, the part that was, like, man, like, that is just super cool. Like, you know, heading into a college job, if I could just, like, pick anything to do, I'm not sure I would pick, you know, field hockey as a sport that I want to coach. You know, I enjoyed working with that team. Does that mean that, like, that's the route that I'm going to go down, you know, when I have the time to? Like, maybe not, right? But, like, I have that choice now. Or I have the choice to, like, jump into anything I want to jump into. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I didn't know what that was. I still partially don't even know what that is. But just, like, the opportunity to do that is just, like, super exciting.
The encouragement to, like, try it. And then as soon as you're done with it, cool. Yeah. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, and myself, with my fascination of, like, sports science numbers, like, literally Tommy, my boss was like, would the title of sports science coordinator help you potentially get to your next job? And I said, yes. And he's like, all right, you have to earn it, but like, let's do it. You know, like, you're in charge of all of our stuff now. And like, the fact that I get to make social media posts and write articles and talk about stuff on podcasts, unrestricted, we have all this tech and data, and I get to like literally do whatever I want with it.
Yeah.
Like, the only one holding me back is me. Yeah. So it's definitely like a unique setup, but I guess that leads nicely into the day/week in the life of a private coach.
Yeah. Well, first, like going back to your last point, and like, this is also a conversation I had with Steve, and I think important is just like the, like, when I first was talking to him, he was like, here's how I'll explain how I'm trying to like give you this big framework for what I'm explaining to you is like, we have Matt's being flown around by 1080 to speak, to do these videos, and he's getting paid by 1080, right? He's like doing all this stuff with data. Like, you know, Steve himself is doing all this stuff with Leader Kit and with Jeremy that is completely unattached to what we're doing in TC Boost, right? So like here are the examples that's actually the applicable examples. So like, I'm not just telling you to go dive into it, right? So I think that's like an important, and like for me to know that you guys are doing stuff like that is like, okay, well, like, first of all, that's awesome, but also like, I gotta get going.
Gotta step
like,
I can't
just be the guy who's just hanging out, you know, which I felt like early on. Anyway,
still are, but it's it's fine.
Yeah. But like, day in the life, I guess again, I've been flow of a year, right? But for the most part, you know, kind of like we said, the morning is more for you. You know, what are you working on? What are you pursuing? You know, go get a workout and whatever it might be. And then once you hit 4 o'clock, like for us, 4 o'clock after school, after work, 4 to 9 PM, like you're just coaching. You're not exactly sure who you might be coaching all the time.
Yep.
You have no idea what shape they're in when they get to you.
Nope.
You know, it might be their 12th workout of the day and it's Tuesday, you know, but it
might be a kid you haven't seen in 3 months.
Might be a kid you haven't seen in 3 months. but like, you know, you're going to be coaching. So that has been a bigger adjustment. That's like when we first started Connect. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm done at 9:30. I'll give you a call. And I'm like sitting in my apartment, like trying to go to bed because I have to wake up at like 4 o'clock. And you're like just getting off of work. So, but yeah, that's been a big shift, but a pretty normal day.
So it's basically like, what do you want to do with the, like, whenever you wake up until like you get to facility around 12 or 1 just to be around to help out. But even from like 12 to 4, it's like workout. Are you going to connect with Steve or Tommy? Are you going to have like a college athlete who has a break in the middle of the day, maybe an adult, or maybe like Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 1 to 2, that's like your speed hour, you know, like, you know, that 3 hours a week dedicated is like diving into speed development, becoming a better coach, or like you have the autonomy. Like, I connected with a coach at a university an hour away. Like, if I want to go watch them and go chat, like, all right, just be back by 4 and be ready to coach, you know? Or like, if I'm getting flown out by 1080 and I'm flying out on Saturday afternoon, Well, I get my Saturday hours in, I fly out, I stay in a hotel, I shoot my video on Sunday, I fly back Sunday night, and I'm like coaching on Monday, as long as I get my coaching stuff done. So it's definitely flipped where it's like, it's not kind of like the cop side. I was like, how do you cram the maximum in coaching athletes, programming athletes? Where at TC Boost, it's the opposite. It's like, all right, you have to coach at least this many hours, make it an awesome experience, get them faster. But then like everything else on top of that is like what you want to make it.
Yeah.
And it definitely takes the right kind of mindset, yeah, which you were in the right mindset to like kind of make that happen. And I guess you haven't had a summer yet, but basically it's like, I say like 12 to 8, 12 to 9 with like coaching for sure, 4 to 9. Saturdays is like 9 to 2, 8 to 4, depending on the Saturday. And then summer is more like a typical 9 to 5. Saturday's optional because there's no school. So that's kind of like a typical week, spring, fall, spring, summer, private side. So the next, if you just quick rapid fire, three pros and cons college, three pros and cons private so far.
Jeez.
Just quick off the top of the dome.
College, like I would say a pro is just like the community aspect. You know, you get to be around a team all the time. And that's really nice. Con, I would say, is the lack of personal development that happens, right? Just the constant.
Like for you?
Yeah, just like the constantly coaching, constantly programming. Mm-hmm. And then in the off time, you're coaching and programming.
Okay.
Pro private side is...
I need more hands for this. I'm trying to count.
Pro private side is just like the huge emphasis on like developing yourself and your brand and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I would say, and then on the flip side, con is like the lack of community, the lack of aspect, right? Like I don't have a team that I am just a part of, right? Like you can... You know, you can do your best to kind of create that, you know, within the environment, but like definitely like no one has to come to you. Mm-hmm. Right. I would say pro of the college side is like you don't have to create immediate value. Like there's no pressure to create immediate value in the athletes you work with. Again, because they have to come back. Right. Like they can't choose to not come back one day.
Like you know you're getting them 3 hours a week, 4 hours a week for 12 weeks. They'll go and they'll come right back. Yeah,
they got to come back. They got to come back. So, you know, pro and con, I guess, to that. But like, you know, and then, and you know, privately, you have to create value right away for an athlete. Like they can't show up for their first day, be like, oh, I'm really a coach, you know, what, you know, I'm not, yeah, not, I don't know how I feel about him.
You they're can't be
not,
off.
Yeah, they're not going to come back.
Yeah.
They're not going to come back. And then I would say the money. Money's great. Privately, the opportunity to make money is frankly way higher than any opportunity I had collegiately, you know? Whereas like I was coaching more, I was on the floor more collegiately making less money. And now like I'm definitely incentivized to be on the coach, to be coaching. And the more I coach, the more money I make. And so that whole setup has been nice. Yeah.
If I had to give a super vague analogy, like correct me if I'm wrong, but college sounds more like kind of like the corporate world, more like accounting, you know, like stuff like that. And then like private side is like entrepreneur startup, you know, like do more, make more, create for yourself versus like it's kind of like all set up for you.
Yeah, very much so. Like collegially, like you are in a box, you know, like there's a ton of people that you have to report to or just constantly keep, you know, updated. Like you'll have your own training and conditioning staff, obviously that's very important. You'll have your sport coaches, that's obviously very important. You'll have administration, that's obviously very important. Here's like you just have complete unlimited freedom. Yes, I guess the comparison would be like, you know, take sport coaches from college, just train them out for parents in the private
sector. Some wild parent stories.
You know what I mean? But like again, pros and cons of both. But at the end of the day, like if you have a parent you don't get along with, you don't have to like, same thing with like the athlete situation. Like you're not tied to a parent. Yeah. You're tied to a sport coach unless they get fired, unless you get fired.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're not tied to a parent if you don't get along with a parent. But yeah, I would say that's probably a decent analogy. Definitely no box around me anymore.
No box.
And there definitely were boxes around me as a college transition coach.
Yeah. Cool. So that's like the general college, you know, like hopefully the listener understands that like, this is just his experiences, just our experiences, but there's probably more similarities in the college side talking about Davis and generalities, and more commonalities, TC Boost talk about private side generalities, than there are differences. So next, kind of rapid fire, kind of not, but there's like four main things. So biggest misconception, like you had this certain thing that it was going to be a certain way making that switch that like completely is not what you thought it was going to be. What would that big misconception be?
I don't know if there was a huge expectation, right? Because I just didn't know what I was walking into. Like I tried to dig out of Steve, what does the day-to-day look like? And he was so vague about it. It was like annoying me, right? Like he was so vague about it. And I understand why he was vague about it, because it is vague, right? Like it is vague, but I couldn't dig out of him. Like I didn't exactly know what I was walking into, you know, like he had kind of explained it to me in this kind of like overarching big theoretical framework. But I was like, okay, like literally what am I doing day to day? So yeah. I didn't really know what to expect, but then just being there, I think like one of the biggest things for me has just been like the change in population of athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Like every single athlete I've coached before I got TC Boost was at least 18 years old and was a Division I athlete.
Some older than you.
I always had an athlete that was older than me, yeah. You know? So every single athlete I coached was a Division I, at least 18 year old, up to like 25 year old, right? Some old. I had a 26 year old at Illinois State, baseball wow. player. Yeah.
Van
like Wilder. He was like a seventh year senior. It was anyway. Now it's like the vast majority of the athletes I coach are high schoolers. So under the age of 18.
12 to 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I interact with more high schoolers, and then I interact with people who are much, much older than that too. Right. Like
General Pop.
Obviously, yeah, General Pop, like Lanny, Jewel, and then like
some pro athletes.
Yeah. And then like Richard, you know, who's 75 years old. You know what I'm saying?
He gets after it.
Dude, he's an animal. Like if I am like that at 75 years old, like I'll be very happy. But anyway, yeah. So like just like the range of athletes is just like way, way, way bigger. And I knew that like going in. But just to actually like be in and experience it is just like so different from coaching in the college space. Like it's so different.
And consequently to like have that skill and to be versatile enough, like just with your 5 months, you've had like that, like 10, 11 year old one-on-one. You've had that small group, middle schoolers, small, medium group, high schoolers, one-on-one pros, group of two or three, four pros. You've had a bunch of high schoolers in the facility, a bunch of high schoolers offsite at their facility. We literally came back from being in the city of Chicago with these strangers you've never met before. And then you have the like adult general population, like just to have those skills and to be comfortable, but then also do it super, super well. Like it's a lot harder than it sounds, but like literally like you could go from training an NFL athlete in the off season to a private high schooler to a group of eight middle schoolers to like going down to the city all in one day.
Yeah.
And like
that's what yesterday was.
That's literally what you did yesterday. So yeah. The population is like mainly 12 to 18, but really like 9 to 75.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 1 to 50.
And I remember like my very like first day, like I had just literally just gotten here from my drive from California, dropped some stuff by our new apartment, came to the facility. Steve was like, yeah,
almost
like,
died.
Almost. Yeah. Almost, yeah. Yeah. Almost died. Shout out Monday. almost died. Got to the facility. And Steve was like, just hang around for a little bit. Like kind of like just see what's going on. And at that exact time, Steve had a two person middle school group. Okay. It was like a JV group. Only two people had shown up. And he was like two 11 year olds, whatever it is. And like, I was like getting mad at the session because like I had literally just emerged from my collegiate training.
Big bad college, like Texas, Notre Dame.
My collegiate training and conditioning. Like my hat was still on as a college strength coach. And it's like, I was just like watching the chaos of these two 11 year olds being trained by Steve. Steve was like having the time of his life. Right, like these kids were having a time of their life, but like I was just staying on the side getting pissed off just because of like how chaotic it was. And then at the end, Steve was like, great session. Like,
you're like, did we watch the
session? I was like, what are we talking about? He's like, dude, they're literally 11 years old. Like, what do you expect out of them? Like
I don't know.
You just came from working with a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds
who want to be there,
who want to be there,
or fairly athletic,
who are good athletes, you know, who are good athletes who actually care about their sports. Like, here are two 11 year olds who have no idea what they want to do.
Mom and dad just dropped them off.
Yeah. So, like, that was, I remember showing up to that and just being like, what the hell did I just sign up for?
You've made a comment that your grip has loosened a little bit, slash, like, you've become more chill.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been like a more laid back coach compared to a lot of college strength coach. Like, that's always how I've been. But just like, I've been better about being around the athletes that I'm around, right? Like, the way that I coach a high schooler who is trying to become a Division I athlete is much different from a middle schooler who is there because their parents don't want to deal with them and drop them off at our facility.
And the parents book it.
And book it out of there. And then reluctantly come back an hour later. Right. So like, like the way that I like approach that has just become much, much different. Where like at first it was just like, I'm gonna coach everybody the way that I always coach everybody. But the reality was everybody that I coached was always very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's just like a large. So I've just gotten better about varying the way I coach.
And understanding how to change your expectations to fit the athlete. You know, like, you can't put your expectations of like, they want to be like, even high school, it's like sophomores, juniors in high school, it's like, I'll ask them, like, how do we know that it's a successful summer? Like, what do you want to get out of the summer? It's like, oh, you know, like start on varsity, become all conference, maybe get a Costco, you know, like, just to me and to us, that's like a fairly general, but like straightforward. So like, I don't know. I'm just like excited to train.
Yeah.
And like, then I have to take a step back and be like, all right, how do I fit that the best way possible? Versus you do have those kids that are super locked in. And then you have those kids where clearly they do not want to be there.
Yeah.
So I think being a chameleon, for an eye roll worthy term, being aware enough to realize, whether you directly ask or don't, why they are there.
Yeah.
And then being able to like change you, not necessarily change in a bad way, but change to give them the most value, because they all see value in different ways.
Yeah, that's a big change that I have to make. Because like, I definitely projected what I thought they should expect onto them while I was coaching.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's not necessarily valuable for them. Mm. And that's certainly not going to make them come back in the future, right? Mm. So like, having that conversation early is super important. Like, I have a kid who I train twice a week. He's a high schooler. But like, he doesn't really have aspirations to play college athletics. So we run routes for an hour and I throw him footballs and he pays me.
And he loves
it. And he loves it.
And over the course of like getting that consistency twice a week, X amount of weeks, like, you are moving the needle.
Yeah.
It might not be as traditional or look as traditional, but like, you still are.
Not to say that that is the typical training session that I have.
Yes. Right? But having the like openness as a coach to be like, he just wants to have a good time today. And we're just going to have a good time. I'm going to give him a little bit of what he wants, a lot of what he needs, you know, but like, from the outside, like, yeah, we're running routes, but like, he loves it. We're mixing in our speed work here and there. And over the course of time, I'm moving that needle, you know?
Yeah. I know for a fact, like, he's going to keep coming back. I know for a fact that like, as long as he's in the area, like, he's going to want to come in and train. Like, that's valuable for him. You know, that's valuable for me too.
Yeah, for sure. So next, biggest surprise. So something Steve didn't describe, I didn't describe at 10 p.m. at night, chatting on the phone, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's like caused me not frustration or stress at all, it was just like the excitement of having no box, no boundaries. Hey, come in, dive into whatever you want. You know, don't let anything stop you from doing that. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I get there to TC Boost, and I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to be diving into right now?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's great to have those options, to have limitless options. But then like, when it comes down to it, like actually like committing to diving into something, way more difficult than I necessarily thought. And then like, I found myself like oftentimes just like when I had time to myself, it was just like not productive, just because like I had way too many possibilities for what I could be doing. I was just like sitting in my desk, like scrolling through Instagram in between groups. And I'm like, this is not productive use of my time.
Yeah.
So like that was something that I had to adjust and like actually get better. It's like, okay, like actually figure out what am I interested in? What do I want to do?
Yeah, it sounds nice in theory.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It sounds great in theory.
Yeah, and then like you're like, oh, I don't actually know what I really want.
Wait, I have to like actually like decide, but then also pursue.
Yeah.
Like first off, like picking a topic, but then second, like
pursuing it. Yeah.
Like where do you start? Who do you talk to? Like that. Like there's so many resources. Yeah. Yeah. So next, biggest thing you miss about the college side?
Yeah, like we touched on it earlier. It's just like the. Like being part of a team and being in that community aspect, like I really did love that, you know, like at Davis, you know, like in the off season for softball, I had them like when they got back to school, I had them 10 straight weeks, 4 days a week. Right. So like I saw them all the time. I was at their practices, their, you know, their preseason games, stuff like that. And like that was really, really valuable to me. That was valuable to them. And like those are relationships now. Like I haven't seen them in half a year, and like I still talk to a lot of the girls on those teams.
Yeah.
So, like super super nice to be a part of that, and like you don't really realize that until you're not in that. So like that's one thing that I definitely miss the most. I would say not to say like again like when I had this conversation with Steve was like not to say you cannot create that here, right? Like there are ways to create that here. Like I've been working now every single week with Niles West football. You know, and that's been since January. So it's like there are actual ways to create that sense of community. They're just not as obvious or as given to you as they were collegially.
Yeah. What are one or two things a college strength coach going private would not be ready for?
Yeah, I would say the athletes. Like just how different the athlete population is. Like you can't tell me that if you're a lifer college strength coach, walking into a group of 12-year-olds is going to be easy. That's significantly more difficult. Significantly more difficult than any collegiate session that you'll ever have. And that's how I was at first. Like I could not stand the 12-year-old groups. I was like, dude, this is so much harder than working with college athletes. But now it's like, I mean, it is what it is now. Like it's not very difficult.
What is so challenging about it?
Just like being okay with a little more chaos within a session. Like you're a college strength coach, like everything is controlled. You like the timing of your entire workout is finely tuned, right? So like if an athlete is out of line, like very easy, you know, you can get them back into line pretty quickly. Like a 12-year-old with the, you know, attention span
of a squirrel.
Of a squirrel. A squirrel.
Running a 1.8 fly 10.
Yeah. 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 So that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that a private coach, not myself, going college would not be ready for.
I just think like the environment's just very different, you know, like just like a, like intensity of environment is very different. Like private sector, like it's so much more relaxed. Like everything, like the coaching side of it's more relaxed. Like everything about it's more relaxed. And I think that's part of
why. There's not much pressure.
Yeah. I mean, that's not, yeah. I mean, there is from like a, people come to you initially at first because they want to see it and a significant increase in like their performance. Mm. Right. So there is that pressure.
Like there's the pressure of the minimums of like having a knockdown session, they enjoy it, they get faster.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Much.
Whereas like collegiately, there are like you have a head coach, an assistant coach, a director of operations, all breathing down your neck. You have a director of strength and conditioning breathing down your neck. You have administration potentially breathing down your neck. Like there's definitely it's much more intense, I would say, at the collegiate environment, which like some athletes or some coaches love, some don't. And going from private in that more relaxed environment to collegiate would definitely,
I mean, all those people you have to report to, and
would definitely be tough if like you haven't experienced that before.
So last kind of big thing. So we'll talk switching college to private because people usually don't go the other way, and people are being more open now about the garbage money in college, you know, not getting kind of like the respect you deserve, sport coaches just literally telling you how to do your job. So I'd say probably more likely someone's going college private.
Yeah.
What like just advice if someone is on the fence thinking about it, like what would be the next action step to, or just advice for someone
trying to? Yeah, I mean, I think number one is just like private is not an escape from college. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's how it's viewed oftentimes. It's like, man, like I've been grinding in college. I want to get out. Here's private. Here's this really super nice, well-pastured road I can take. I'm going to make a lot more money and not have to work as hard. That's actually not how it works at all, right? Like if you want to just like
jump into private and just like coach, and that's going to be it. Like, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
Right. Like, you have to be ready to come into private with the idea of what more can I create? Yes, exactly. Like, you can't just want to coach in private. If you just come into private wanting to coach, like, you're going to be disappointed for sure. Like, you have to be ready and willing to like go beyond whatever it is, like explore things you actually want to dive into, build your brand, look into the future, get, how do I get there? And then pursue that actively. It's just, it's not a place you can just go to coach, make
clock in, clock out.
Exactly. Spend time with your family on Friday, Saturdays. Like, it's, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Like, I probably work, like, I work more days now than I did collegiately, you know? I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that because, again, like, the more I work, there's like so many more benefits that come with that now. So I'm cool with working 7 days a week. But like, if you're just coming into coach without that thought process of what more is there, you're going to get disappointed.
Yeah. And not that every week is 7 days a week, but like, for example, this weekend with the 80 Chicago Public Schools, you know, like, that's just something that we're asked to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm doing it on Saturday, not, I wasn't asked to do it on Sunday, but like, there was one time there was a middle school baseball team that we partnered with. It was 8 Sundays, and like, Sunday's my off day. And I was like the only coach, you know? So like, there's definitely that part of it, but like, yeah, just, oh, I'm just going to clock in, clock out. It's going to be great. You know, like, I want to have sport coaches. Well, wait till little Johnny's mom gets you on the phone, right? Like, you are not going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
So just like the expectations, I think, like, it's not an escape. It has its own unique challenges. They're quite different, but like, it's not just some bigger paycheck, less coaching. Right. I think that was a super good way to put it. So last, thank you for your time. I'm going to roll out the red carpet, nice velvet red carpet.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Mike is in a little social media battle. It is officially out in the universe with his girlfriend, who can be the best social media over the next 2 months plus. Where can the listeners get more Coach Mike Sully?
That's exactly it. Instagram, Coach Mike Sully. Twitter, also Coach Mike Sully.
I think one.
Yes, Coach Mike Sully. I think Coach Mike Sully was taken, unfortunately.
Sad.
So Coach Mike Sully. But yeah, thanks for having me, dude. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. My first podcast ever.
Let's go.
It's been electric. I don't think I'm going to have many where I'm just sitting in my living room drinking coffee.
I mean, like, this is the nice little environment.
This is nice.
Yeah.
This is a very safe way for me to get out in the podcast world. So
I appreciate you.
We'll see. I'm going to hold my breath to see if this ever gets posted. But
yes. It'll just sit on my computer for all eternity.
That's what I'm expecting. So.
It'll be a surprise.